En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos ProBlock Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales electos, sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, it's all right.
Happy Wednesday.
I've had gooder mornings.
Gooder mornings.
You heard me.
And it's fair. That's fair. My flu game performance is continuing. That don't know, my headphones are shot. I think we're making it, though. I think we're doing okay. We are doing okay. I can move around a little bit today. Yesterday, I couldn't really move around very much.
Yeah, no, for those that don't know, the slightest movement from him in his seat, it turns everything into flux in a place where headphones are kind of key. We do need these things. It's kind of important to have
multiple headphones. Times I thought yesterday things were broken. No, it was just my headphones.
Incredibly important to have headphones in. But no, yeah, you continue to be statuesque. Drew Bledsoe, if you may. I might even upset you and say you might be playing like Jared Goff right now, still getting it done despite the fact that you don't move very well.
That's 100% true. And if the cameras were on and looking at us, I am just like, don't move, slight movement. Oh no, everything's gone. It's darkness. Oh no, I can't hear anything.
But luckily we're in the same room. So like,
right.
If push comes to shove, yeah, you wouldn't be able to hear callers or guests. But, you know, you keep staring at my face.
Yeah.
And being able to at least hear me.
We'll be fine there.
Yeah.
It's just everything else is a slight
just
concern.
Everything else. So if he doesn't hear what you have to say, now you all understand why.
It's not you. It is actually me.
It's not even him. It's his headphones.
Although, did look at the Amazon order. New one should be coming in later today.
All right.
Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X-Point Show on a Wednesday. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Had a Sabres game last night. Felt like it was going to be a pretty big vibes game at home. They've been picking up points.
Oh,
they probably should have won in Toronto.
I forgot when it comes to vibes, what has been going on lately around here. How shot have the vibes been about the Bills?
Yeah, not great.
It was Bills night.
Mm-hmm. Well, Max Harrison was mic'd up. He was funny.
Yes.
There was a few moments. I like that. When somebody that is not traditionally a hockey fan gets mic'd up to their first or whatever hockey game, it's genuinely funny.
It is. But again, I should have remembered that in that moment of like, oh, right, the Bills have harshed the vibes the last month.
Yeah.
And then the Sabres didn't get a shot on goal for like the first 10 minutes of that game, and they could count their stars that it was 1-0 at the end of the first. That said, it could have been worse. And then at the same time, oh, it could have been a hell of a lot better.
It probably should have been better.
It should have been better, as a matter of fact, because of the fact that you did have the lead into the third period and you did forfeit that lead for the second game in a row. That's the unfortunate part. Last year's team, though, finds ways to lose one, if not both, of those games in regulation. If you're better than last year's team and you don't have a 13-game losing streak tied to you, well, we're going to be having conversations about postseason chases at least later on in the season, at the least. I don't want to come away like too optimistic, but too pessimistic about it either. But through 10 games, you are now sitting at 4-4-2. As, I guess, quote-unquote 500 as it gets, pseudo 500, but still 500. So you are, looks like, in the standings, mediocrity defined. And yet I look at those three games that they started the year and they did not even look competitive. Even the games that they have lost, when they've gotten points out of six of their last seven games now, even in the losses, they play excitable hockey.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think is beneficial in the end of all of this, is that they're still at least playing excitable hockey in the losses, or games that ultimately become losses. What they can't keep doing, though, is they can't keep starting games slow. You get outshot 9-0 in the first half of the first period. And again, count your lucky stars that it's only 1-0. But they've done this often enough that it's been losses. There are five of these instances that the Sabres have gotten outshot, outpaced immediately at the start of a game. They've lost four of those. You can't get away with that. It does help that one of those losses is indeed one that you gained a point out of. The other one's the Ottawa game.
Mm-hmm.
That win, that's the Ottawa game, just yep. So that everyone knows. But they can't keep starting slow. It is coming back to haunt them. Whether that be through the season, your first three games, or how they've started some games. They have to be off to better starts, because then, once they're in a rhythm and flow, once they get their legs under them, they're a fun, tough team to skate against. And when I say tough, I mean tough when it comes to stopping them from creating chances. They're difficult to deal with, is I think the best way to say it. When they get going, they're difficult to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, especially for much of this first 10 games, they were mainly getting depth scoring. The top guys weren't really doing a ton. Rasmus Dahlin still kind of isn't.
It's still kind of that.
I will say, though, and Sabermetrics tweeted this out last night following the game, the last about 10 years, the first 10 games, just looking at that, it doesn't feel that different. If you just look at that, they have had 4-5-1, 5-5, 7-3 in just these last few years. This year they're 4-4-2. And I will tell you, these last two games have been immensely frustrating because they have leads in the third period. It's not – this time last week, we were talking about just stack points, right?
Right.
That was essentially the message of don't go on these losing streaks where you're not getting anything for a week and a half, and you're falling further behind in an Atlantic that – is kind of begging for anyone to look pretty good outside of like Montreal and Detroit. The problem is with these last two games, other teams dragged it to overtime. Toronto drags it to overtime. Columbus drags it to overtime. Following the bad first period against Columbus last night, you're kind of all over them. They match the shot totals. They get after them. They go up 2-1, and the time it took me to take a shower, which is about 15 minutes in real time, they went from down 1-0 to up 2-1. And then you get some of the dirty goals, and you're up, and they allow these teams to kind of force overtime. Now, I will say with Columbus, by the end of the game, it looked like Buffalo was going to be the team that could score and win in regulation. I think probably the last 3 minutes.
The last 3 minutes, it did look like Buffalo did take control of that game, and yet at the same time, it seemed coached to go to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed by a lot of things there. this was also still a back-and-forth affair. Alex Lyon had to make a lot of really good saves.
He made some very good saves last
night. Incredible saves. Test the man's glove. He's not letting you beat it there. And there was one that I feel like he probably would have wanted back, their power play goal that should never have been a power play, by the way, but we'll talk about that, I guess, never. The less I talk about that call, the better. But Lyon still was making incredible saves to keep them within striking distance in the first period, and then all throughout the game. It was nice glove saves, really nice patience, positioning saves. Very good stuff from Lyon again. Unfortunately, it's a loss that we talk about here, not a win. I need my top guys to be top guys. I need my top paid players to be able to step up a little bit more than they have currently shown. Like, Tuck and Thompson are atop the Sabres in scoring again, but it doesn't feel like it, I guess is the right way to say that. I'm going to hate myself for doing this. I definitely need a little bit more from Owen Power. If he's getting paid $8 million a year, I need him to do more than the quiet things well. And then that overtime goal, everybody gets caught puck watching at some point. Kulik trails off of his man on the center in the middle of the ice. Tuck moves a little bit toward the puck. Power even gets caught watching. That's how Miles Wood gets behind him. If Kulik's there in the middle of the ice, that pass probably doesn't get made. But it did. And Ruff did properly call Kulik out for that. But everybody got caught with it in that moment. But Brian Koziel said it best. It never should have came down to that. Because for the second overtime in a row, you had people that fans would be at least more than comfortable with. Players in prime scoring chances. The Toronto game, you've got Jack Quinn, Tage Thompson on a 2-on-1, and there are zero shots taken.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is Owen Power, who recovers the loose puck from the no shot being taken, and there's still zero shots taken. You can't have that. Yes, I know, UPL, make the tough save, please. But no, it shouldn't have come down to that. And I'm going to say the same thing there. That goal, I'm not as worried about that goal and the blown defensive assignments on that, because Yuri Kulik is another player that fans would be at least okay with being all alone on a breakaway in overtime. He doesn't get it done. There's a shot taken at least, but he doesn't get it done. Tage and Dahlin have another opportunity in overtime. They don't get there. And there's no quality shot taken from that. At least with Kulik, there was a shot on goal.
Mm-hmm.
But I shouldn't be saying at least when there are prime scoring opportunities. That cannot be, if you want to be a playoff team, I can't say the words at least there was a shot. Because playoff teams do bury those. We are getting close to my watermark, Zach. 12 to 15 games to show me ultimately what you really are. And right now what they are is, they're more entertaining.
But they might be around the same team we've seen the last few years.
They might be the same team that they were last year, but definitely without a 13-game losing streak. Excuse me. That could get you a playoff spot. They are far more fascinating to watch on the ice. They are far more dangerous on the ice. They are more consistent in net. Did they ultimately, and we will talk about this in April, if that 3-game losing streak where you don't even look like a hockey team, does that do you in? Because that looks like what they are right now, fighting for a wild card spot. Does that first 3-game stretch ultimately put them in the ground before they were really getting started? We'll find out.
And what'd you think of Kesselring last night? In his debut, he's coming off an injury.
It took him a bit. I think it definitely took him a bit. I don't think he's comfortable with Byram. I don't think Byram's comfortable with him. I don't know who Byram can play with reliably outside of Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah. That's kind of been his whole thing.
And I'm kind of worried about that because you gave him 2 years. The way it ended up going for Power last night and the unfamiliarity that Kesselring had with Byram, I would bet probably rather safely that Power Kesselring becomes the pair because that was the vision when he was acquired. That's probably the vision that we get here. And it's probably what's going to end up happening. It is going to be a question of what do you do with Bowen Byram? Because he is, at times, when he's wonky, he is wonky.
Mm-hmm.
And even Kesselring, there was a couple of those, like, it was too hard of a pass, or the passes between the two of them, D to D, were not on target. It did take Kesselring a little bit to get going. It's like he was playing in his first game of the season. He was. And it looked like it. And that's perfectly, like, acceptable in a sense, because he did get his legs under him eventually and settled in. The metrics looked really good with him, by the way, as well. I just thought it took a little bit. And that's fine. It took a little bit. He's playing in his first game of the season.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. Want to give your thoughts on last night's overtime loss for the Sabres. They're back in action at Boston tomorrow night, a team that was part of that early three-game losing streak where they just did not look competitive at all.
That's a game that you should have had because Boston is not good.
Boston is not good. We've talked about their center depth and really just – I think most
– And then they unloaded Pavel Zacha.
But that's the thing. I think most hockey people have also talked about they're not – they are resetting.
Yes.
But also, it's an old boys club in Boston that may not actually be a thing. They may just always believe that they're one step away, one player away, what have you. We'll see how they end up going, and we'll see how the Sabres look tomorrow night. Even let's, for argument's sake, overtime loss again tomorrow. That's now we're getting into alarming territory of guys. Come on.
Now you've lost.
Pick it back up. Let's go.
Now that turns into a different conversation of, okay, mm-hmm. You've lost three straight games, especially the context of it how. Do they end up fighting back and stealing a point in a game that they didn't deserve, for example, though? Well, how does matter here, too? You're doing that against Boston? I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I don't really think that they should lose this game tomorrow. They've been playing better, and if they play the way that they've been playing against Boston, they will do it. They will get it done. They will take care of things. Because the depth is working for them, I think that's where it's valuable. I think you need more from your top players mm-hmm. right now. You do. Because you know who looked like one of the most dangerous players out there last night? Even though he doesn't register a goal or even a point in this game last night? Jack Quinn. Quinn had a lot of good quality looks to him. And I am actually really comforted by the fact that he is trusting his legs again. It's natural that he wasn't because of the Achilles injury and the knee injury right before that. Back to back. It's hard to trust your legs again because they don't have the strength that you were used to.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while to work back. Quinn trusts his legs. He trusts his skating again. He still is a little inconsistent in terms of point production, but he's creating opportunities, sometimes out of thin air. He just needs to be a little bit more consistent because he has a wild night against Detroit. He hasn't done much since on the score sheet.
No, but he flashes a lot. When he's on the puck, he flashes.
When he flashes, he's noticeable this year, and it's more in a positive way, especially compared to the first three games of the year when nobody was looking all that good. I do think there is plenty of opportunity here for Quinn, and yet I think he's perfectly comfortable with the third line minutes, it sort of seems, that he's getting right now, averaging 15.05 on the ice. Keep shooting, by the way.
Yeah, keep going. Keep doing that.
Shoot more. Create opportunities. Keep shooting. The thing that I'm more impressed with him, though, is he's also winning more battles, not consistently, but he's winning more battles along the boards. That's something that you need from him. That's something that you need really from everybody. But you need a player that's been having a little bit of a rough go of it in the physicality standpoint to be able to fight back and come away with some of those wins. And Quinn does do that a little bit more now. They're kind of getting healthier again, obviously.
Kesselring, we've
mentioned. Kesselring comes back.
Yep.
Greenway seems like he's on his way.
Mm-hmm.
Lukanen obviously back into the lineup. So they are getting healthier. Now, you've strung points together. Get back to stringing wins together. There's your difference. And you have an opportunity against a very havable opponent in Boston.
I want to say, so it's Boston tomorrow.
Yep.
And then Washington at home on Saturday. Saturday night game.
And
they've been good at home so far this year.
Also, not even just about at home. They don't seem to have problems with Washington.
No,
President's
no matter,
Trophy
yeah.
winning Washington.
No matter how good Washington not president, is the last few years.
First in the East, Washington last year gets smoked by the Sabres a couple times at home. Absolutely dusted.
We'll see.
We'll see. Obviously, last year's not this year, and the Sabres are hopefully going to keep proving that. If we get last year again, I do not want to comprehend my thoughts and the words that I wound up saying into this microphone if that happens again. So please don't. Because remember, what did I say? I want at least different this year. Be different. Don't do the same thing as last year because that's not different.
803-0550, the number two call. We also had a really fun baseball game last night. And the Bills return to work today as they get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. 11 o'clock, Sal Capaccio will join the show. We'll talk more on the Bills' return to practice today. We'll get our first injury reports and get a kind of an idea to see if any of the big week-to-week players from before the bye week will be returning. At 11:30, Paul Hamilton will join the show, get the latest on the Sabres. They are picking up points, but they've also lost two in a row in overtime games. They led in the third period. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
Anthony Yamamoto. There's a fly ball to deep left center field. Headed back there. It is gone! Brad Jr. gives the Jays the lead. The franchise face, putting the team on his back.
Vladdy.
There's nothing better than 8-bit sounding goodness.
That was, again, the Jays stack hits, they get after a team's pitcher, and they come in many ways from behind, not in this game necessarily, but they're pushed into a corner, and they're like, we got this, we're fine, we're just okay. No issues.
And also, what did I say yesterday?
Yeah.
They painted themselves into a corner.
That's what they do.
And they fought out of it.
And so,
because you can't go down 3-1. Not in L.A.
Because the series stays in L.A. I mean,
and then it can close there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody puts Vladdy in the corner.
Nope.
Nobody puts the Jays in the corner.
Bad movie, if we're being honest.
It's a classic, but yeah.
It's a classic, but a bad movie.
Swayze's cool. That's all I'll say.
Real quick on this. Patrick Swayze for like a 15-year career or 15-year run was basically just I'm the older cool guy to a bunch of teenage kids. That was his whole career.
Who's
for like
that
15
now?
Years. Probably one of the Stranger Things actors eventually.
Based on this show, me.
Yeah, there you go. Derek. But yeah, so for the Jays though, you get that home run from Vladdy in the third to go up 2-1. But it ultimately is later on in the game in the seventh, where they just start stacking hits. They get four runs, and they end up with 11. Four earned runs on Shohei. They go after him. Now the series is tied 2-2. It's still in Los Angeles tonight, 8 p.m. But they're so difficult to put away.
They're difficult to put away. But also the quiet part about this is the pitching did really well in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Bieber gets the win on that game. And he does it a little quieter. Like, you know, sometimes you get those dominating mound starts and like
I've got nine strikeouts three innings. You're like, oh my goodness.
I've got at least seven through my five innings. Mm-hmm. No, Bieber only throws out three on strikeouts. He walks three players. Matter of fact, Shohei has six Ks. But it's just the effective, quiet, defensive play that the Jays are also able to utilize in the field to get effective, methodical putouts, making sure that things are just on schedule like that. And then Varland is the one that has to close it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he does.
They're such an entertaining team to watch. I can't tell you, Derek, how happy I want them to win. I mentioned this. I'm not a Blue Jays fan. I am an Angels fan, but I've really enjoyed this run. What I really like, though, is that there's nothing else going on tonight. And because of the win last night, there's just so much energy for this game. And I can just solo watch this. I haven't really been able to just solo watch a lot of the World Series because the Sabres have been playing. We're going to talk a lot about them, what have you. There's football going on, and that's obviously very important to the Bills with Chiefs and Commanders. Tonight, I can just sit back and I can just watch the Jays play. And they're a joy to watch.
And not to mention, though, a player that I'm really, like, always fascinated by right now in this postseason is a guy who was one of their starting pitchers during the season, Chris Bassitt.
Mm-hmm.
Bassitt on the mound as a reliever has been dominant. Zach, I want you to guess Bassitt's ERA in 2025 postseason.
Is it under two?
It's zero.
Oh, it's zero. Okay.
So yes, right.
The answer is yes.
You are correct. The man just puts up Ks and puts batters out.
He is
fantastic. He's pitched a total of 6 2/3 innings.
Oh, okay. So he hasn't actually pitched that many innings.
He doesn't pitch a lot of innings, but when he's on the mound, he puts batters out. That's kind of also like you're embracing a new role just within the postseason. Bassitt's a starting pitcher for them. But what's he do in this game, for example? He throws two innings, strikes out two, puts balls in the strike zone. 14 of his 20 pitches were strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't allow a run. He allows one hit. That's it. We're done.
Yeah, get it done.
And even then, Varland has had some of the most dangerous moments happen to him in the postseason. There's Julio has a home run in one of the Mariners' wins. It comes off of Varland. It's a 3-run shot. And that is the series after that it happens where the Yankees get their only win of the ALDS. Varland throws a pitch ill-advised toward Judge, and there's Judge's postseason moment where, like, no, he can actually make mm-hmm. plays for you in October.
Yeah.
The rest of the lineup didn't do anything, but, you know, Judge did.
Judge had his moments. Yeah,
Judge had his moments. But it's Varland that's been on a couple of these. He allows a run in his inning, the ninth inning. So you're like, oh boy, heart's starting to flutter a little bit. But then they do get the put out pop fly that goes a little deep, by the way. So there's a little more scare for you. But they do get the put out and it's over. Their bullpen has been, on a game-to-game basis, fascinating. You don't know what you're getting out of them almost routinely at this point. I do get scared when Fisher's on the mound. I'm incredibly secure. Like, I've got my comfort blanket, and I'm eating a bowl of pasta when Bassitt's on the mound, though. Dominguez, there's the mound visit, and he puts a meatball over the plate mm-hmm. for Ohtani. And yet, against Seattle, he was fantastic.
I mean, but it also is something, too, that with the Jays team where
and that's bullpens, though, for you. Like, they're not always going to be the most reliable, but if you can get it done, you can get it done. Heck, the ALDS, they have a bullpen game.
And that's how they win it.
They put the Yankees away with a bullpen.
The thought was, I mean, we took a call on it where, oh, no, what are you doing? You're blowing your chance, even though that was sort of the expectation with how many starting pitchers they had available for that series.
They were prepared for that.
It still, though, is the game that they win it, and the bullpen game is basically perfect from the pitchers. I will say, though, and why I'm enjoying this and why, you know, a little bit of the up and down and what have you, the Dodgers are thought to be a super team. Who didn't play like a super team all regular season, and then the moment they get in the playoffs, they look untouchable to the rest of the NL. They're killing everybody. Where for the Jays, I think everyone's kind of just been waiting for them to lose.
Right.
I mean, they have the one seed, so you're waiting to see who they play with the winner of Yankees-Boston. But even then, it was sort of like, okay, but the winner of that, we'll beat them, and then we're on to the next. And then Seattle. Not saying that everyone was thinking like Seattle was worlds better than them, but it was Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez, and they've got their own star power, and it's felt like maybe it's going to be their year. Here they come, and nope, the Jays are going to handle them too. And I mean, that series was weird.
The Jays even get pushed into a corner 3-2.
Well, I mean, I was going to say that series was weird in the sense that no home team could win a game for the longest time.
Right.
And now with the Dodgers. The Dodgers maybe more than any of the series so far.
Oh, it doesn't matter between Seattle and Toronto. They're fighting for second place.
They're fighting for second place. Good for showing up. This is the Dodgers era. They're the George Steinbrenner's Yankees on steroids. This is what you're going to deal with. You thought the Yankees in the 2000s were bad? Nope, here we go. And no, the Blue Jays just kind of refuse to go away. They play a little bit different style of baseball than I think a lot of teams who have gone more to the analytics of home run and OPS. The Jays can do that, yes, but they like to stack hits. They play that old school style of baseball, which is more fun. The thoughts of bunting and stealing a base and what have you, it can bite them sometimes, don't get me wrong. And
their base running head.
They've had some bad base running moments. Just go to Bichette and Varsho two nights ago. Where that's not a bad call by the ump. It's just poor base running. Bichette is staring at it, looking at Varsho's reaction rather than the ump's, which is not good.
And also in that game, there are several runners tagged out on kind of aggressive base running techniques.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, Vladdy scores from first on what is ultimately a single. They are aggressive. They're aggressive at the plate, not in terms of trying to find bombs, but they do like to try to make sure that they get hits. They attack the plate. They attack the bases. They are an aggressive team that likes to try to make sure that, like you said, stack some runners on bases so that they can create opportunities for themselves. It does come back to bite them every now and then.
But I mean, just listen to this seventh inning. Jimenez, single left center, scores a run. Francis, grounded out. Clement, scores though. Bichette, single. Jimenez scores. Barger, single. Guerrero scores. It's not doubles and triples and home runs. Yes, you do get two runs from Guerrero, but last night it's just stacking singles. Just rotate through the lineup. I mean, it's kind of what game one was, too. You have the grand slam. You have some home runs. Yes, but it was also just they kept getting hits. And I'm enjoying it because, of course, it's local. And a lot of these guys played in Buffalo. I'm also enjoying it because they're going after the Dodgers, who are trying to do what the Yankees have done for decades and succeeded a lot at, but in many ways kind of made the game a four-team league.
Yes.
The Dodgers are sort of doing the same thing here. And it also is somewhat continuing a bit of a run here of the last five or so years where kind of outside of last year with Dodgers-Yankees, the World Series has been a lot of random teams getting hot at the right time in the right year against the right matchup. And they go on and win a World Series. They're not stacking them. They're not becoming a dynasty. They're not all of a sudden becoming just this fixture in our minds. The Nationals suck. And yet, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they won a World Series. Rangers are fine.
They demolished their entire roster after that.
You know, the Rangers are fine. It won a World Series.
But this was also finally, you liked doing this with primetime players yesterday. This was Vlad's moment in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Because game one is everybody's cooking.
Right.
But now, Vladdy has his moment in this game. Early on, in the third inning, he gives them the lead. With a two-run homer. And you said it, that if they're going to have a chance to win the World Series, he needs one of these games. He needs one of these moments. And he has it. A guy who's had such a fantastic postseason, still hitting .419 right now in the postseason, by the way, which is just insane.
Yeah, he's been incredible.
Insane work. Because even Clement dipped under .400. He's at .393. But to see him continue to not just hit to contact, but have these timely home runs, they are timely. That it's not only keeping you in games, it's also creating opportunities for this team. That's the part that is becoming more impressive about this Jays team, because you're able to get hitting down the lineup. Having Clement at the seven is dangerous. A guy that hits the contact, and then the next thing you know, as long as Jimenez and IKF don't like put a double play out there, there's a runner on base for the top of the order. By the way, they did this without Springer yesterday.
Yeah.
We'll see what his health looks like, but it was obviously enough to keep him out of game four.
Be a huge bump if they can have him back. He's one of six guys on the Jays right now over 700 in OPS. Vladdy's at 1,300. I mean,
it's hilarious.
He's in a different stratosphere right now. But you've mentioned Clement, 947, Barger, 940. They're getting hits from, it feels like, everybody. And their stars are showing up. The stars are showing up. You have already a big Springer moment. You already have now, after last night, a big Vladdy moment. And you can even count the defensive moment as well. Vladdy from first to third, that throw. We didn't even really get to talk about that from two games ago. Absolutely incredible. Game five tonight, 8 p.m., you Savage, Snell, your pitchers, all the way from back from game one. And you saw what the Jays were able to do to Snell in game one. It was an incredible, incredible
definitely
series.
Not what anyone would have predicted on that one. Savage has an opportunity to step up again in what has already been a good postseason for him in his debut into the MLB postseason. And it just, do you have one more in you to carve into legend?
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio coming up at 11 o'clock. Paul Hamilton at 11:30. Looking for your calls as well. Your thoughts. You want to talk Jays, Sabres, Bills. Love to hear your thoughts. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner is going to be announced during Football Friday with Shope and the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. It is Wednesday. We don't have Thursday Night Football yet. On that, though, Baltimore-Miami. Lamar Jackson's going to be back. Miami, good for you. You beat Kirk Cousins.
Cool.
But, you know, good for them. It's a win. I feel like the whole team kind of needs that. But Baltimore, they got, I think, a surprising win over Chicago, at least to me. I thought with Tyler Huntley playing, Ben Johnson, and the offensive mojo he's kind of had cooking with them for the last few weeks, I thought there was a good chance Baltimore go to 1-6. That did not happen. If Baltimore wins on Thursday night to go to 3-5, where are you sitting with that? They are still I think they're back to favorites to winning the AFC North.
And that has more to do with Pittsburgh than it does Baltimore.
Right, right.
But considering what they've played like and what they are and what their defense already is injured to with losing enough players for the year and how they performed when they were perfectly healthy, I'm not as scared of Baltimore as I was in week one.
Does this next couple game schedule change that for you? So we've already mentioned Miami tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
At Minnesota, probably J.J. McCarthy.
Yes, but a good Vikings defense.
Not playing that well, though. The Vikings team is, as a whole, definitely underperforming this year. At Cleveland.
Very good defense.
Home against the Jets. Home against Cincinnati. Home against Pittsburgh.
So they have a cupcake schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time to see if this really is a lost season or not.
That's my thing. I thought if they went to, what would that have been, 1-6, I thought,
it's probably over.
No one would fault you for being like, pack it up. Injuries got to us, including at our quarterback. We're going to get a nice pick. But like in all seriousness, we're going to get a nice pick. Let's start over. Now 2-5 with that schedule ahead of you, how soon until it's 5-5? I don't see them losing a game in the next few weeks. Look, I like J.J. McCarthy. And that's a nice defense. I also saw what 5 sacks and no quarterback did to a team.
Yeah, that's true. I will say that Baltimore also has a tendency to even play down to competition.
They absolutely can. They are very notorious for having big leads in the second half and losing them.
Matter of fact, Baltimore, who was fantastic last year, loses to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Their coaching staff does lose them games actively. So I don't necessarily think that they go unbeaten in that stretch.
You push a team kind of in this situation of you kind of can't lose again. I mean, yes, they can. But they're also in a spot where actually the season could wind up being pretty good for them. If they go on a run here, get a little healthier, they're not going to get everybody back. They're going to get a good chunk of these guys back. Including Lamar.
This could be the division that wins it at 9-8.
It absolutely could be. Absolutely could be. I also could totally see them being 11-6.
And while they have the murderer's row to start the season, Bills blow out the Browns. Lions, Chiefs, Texans, Rams, and they lose all of those games against teams that have winning records. That might just be who they are this year, though, Zach. A team that feasts on the soft underbelly. And then say they make the playoffs, though. And, like, say they do win the North at, like, 9-8.
Right, and they're the 4 seed.
If the Bills are somehow shut out of the division title and they have the 5 and they have Baltimore coming here again, not afraid.
I think, I think I'll always be somewhat worried about them. It's the same with the Chiefs,
I'll be worried about.
It's the same with the Chiefs. There always is going to be that little bit of worry.
The one thing I'm going to be worried about is that Derrick Henry finds Derrick Henry.
Against Buffalo again.
And then I really take it personal. But outside of that, no, I'm not afraid of Baltimore. As a matter of fact, I'm more afraid of Buffalo right now than I am of Baltimore. I'm afraid of the Bills and how they've been self-sabotaging.
They're going to be a fun team to keep an eye on, though, the next few weeks. With Lamar back, and they do get that win over the Bears. Now, all of a sudden,
tomorrow night.
I know. That's the whole thing, is that like I'm getting somewhat interested into them again, where it's like, okay, like I'll keep an eye on you now, only for Miami to start stacking wins in the year 2025. It'd be a little crazy.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number two call. Bills back to work today. We'll get our first injury reports in. Bills back to practice. We'll hear from some of the players and coaches as well. Sal Capaccio will join the show next. Get us the word on all of that. So stay tuned. That's coming up next. You're listening to WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on a Wednesday. It is Chiefs week. The Bills are back in action later this morning. And you know the music. You know who's up next on the Western Hotline. The one, the only. Sal Capaccio joins us now. Sal, how are we doing this morning?
Pretty good, guys. Just down here at One Bills Drive. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott here in about within the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get an update on the injury situation heading towards Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, Sal, obviously the big injury situation there is we already have gotten confirmation on Ed Oliver. He is going to injury reserve yesterday. There were, though, some other players. I know that McDermott had mentioned we'll see how the week goes. Guys like Josh Palmer and Daquan Jones. With the injury to Oliver, though, how important do you think it is going to be to maybe get Daquan Jones going here sooner rather than later, of course, depending on his health?
Well, yeah, it's important, but I don't know if they're not going to rush him back on the field, right? I mean, like, no matter how important it is to have Daquan Jones, if he's not healthy to play, he's not playing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he, you know, they called him week to week, there was a thought of maybe putting him on IR a couple weeks ago, at least they didn't rule it out. He's missed a couple weeks. It's possible we could see him today. It's possible, but if that's not the case, you know, they're not going to rush him. So, yeah, Daquan Jones important. But, you know, the Bills, they're going to have to probably look elsewhere to add to the defensive tackle spot. They signed Jordan Phillips to the 53-man roster in conjunction with putting Ed Oliver on injured reserve. So they have 4 defensive tackles on the actual roster, but that includes Daquan Jones. Now, they do have Fedarian Mathis and Zion Logue on the practice squad. Zion Logue is already out of elevations. In order for him to play, he would have to sign to the 53, but they chose to go Jordan Phillips that route. Fedarian Mathis could come up and play, or you could go and trade for somebody a week from yesterday's the trade deadline. Yesterday, they did have Raekwon Davis in for a workout. Raekwon Davis is like 6'7", 325. He is an anchor, played nose tackle, very, very good player, I thought, for the Miami Dolphins a few years ago. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's another body added at some point.
So we also did see from the practice squad elevations to the active roster, Jordan Poyer. Sal, what did you see from him over the weekend? I know there was a little bit of, kind of depending on who you asked, do we want to see more Jordan Poyer, Jordan Hancock? And it seemed the Bills kind of played around with that a little bit and much more kind of moved around personnel. I really enjoyed that aspect.
I like how they did it, you know, the first week. I wonder if you're going to see more and more Jordan Hancock sprinkled in. It was basically Jordan Hancock on passing downs and Jordan Poyer on running downs. You know, Jordan Poyer, first 2 downs of the game he's in, and then Jordan Hancock shows up on the first 3rd and long of the game. Bam, he goes in 3rd and 5, maybe it was, whatever it was. But and then they kind of went with that throughout the game, which I liked. You get Jordan Hancock's feet wet. And when Jordan Hancock was out there, you could notice. I mean, he saved the touchdown on the run by Rico Dowdle. And if that's a different safety, maybe there's no saving of a touchdown. And what happened a few plays later? The Bills get a turnover. That's how big that play was, right? To save that touchdown. And you saw the athleticism. You saw that. So I do wonder, you know, going forward what they do. But you asked me what I saw from Jordan Poyer. You know, I'm not here to tell you Jordan Poyer is what he was back in 2021, right? I mean, he's a different player now. He's older now. But you know what Jordan Poyer does and what he did? He gets the defense settled down. He gets them lined up. The communication, it's really important. And I just felt that the process of the defensive system and play calling and the operation of the defense felt so much calmer last Sunday than it has recently. Now, I will also tell you that I know that Bills fans were there and they're loud, but when you're on the road, it's a little bit easier on the defense to communicate because the crowd isn't yelling when their own offense is on the field. That can help. But I just felt that Jordan Poyer really helped settle that down and calm the defense a little bit.
So on the defense then, Sal, and I know this was rampant all over social media, I don't really know if we got a full answer from McDermott. He seemed to kind of, you know, mention that it's a bit of a joint effort. But there was rumblings on Sunday that maybe McDermott had taken over play calling duties. Did you see anything different from Carolina? I mean, for me, it's Andy Dalton played, I think, a big role into how the Bills' defense played. But they did look better. I could fully understand where a lot of people were coming from thinking, ooh, has something major changed here?
No, you know, it's hard to parse, right? I mean, you can pick apart things and say, well, they played a little bit more man-to-man sometimes, which I thought they did, a little more press coverage. But I don't know if that's necessarily true versus what they would have done anyway, if that makes sense, right? You're playing a tall wide receiver group. A lot of times you want to play man-to-man against taller wide receivers, especially maybe against an Andy Dalton who's not as mobile. So you're okay with turning your back to him, you know, if that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's the case, if they would have or wouldn't have. They were a little more aggressive on the blitz, but again, not a mobile quarterback. You have Michael Hoyt back, you have Larry Ogunjobi. So I'm not sure. I thought the operation, again, was good. There were no issues that when it came to that. Was Sean McDermott calling defensive plays? He didn't deny it, right? I mean, let's be honest. When he was asked about it, he said it's a joint effort. He didn't say, no, Bobby Babich is calling the defense. That's not what I'm doing. He said it's a joint effort. He's basically telling you he's calling the defense with Bobby Babich. What we don't know and what they're not going to tell you is exactly how does that work. When he says we're going over tendencies, we're talking about what to do, the series, tendencies, play to play, but who's actually relaying the defense into the green dot, the person, in this case, Shaq Thompson last week, usually Terrell Bernard, with the headset in his earpiece in his helmet. And I can't tell you that's not Sean McDermott based on his answer. Or wasn't, I should say.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Derek. But we've gotten a lot from McDermott over the last, you know, 2 days. I mean, both on the defense there, but also the offense and kind of where he sits compared to his OC and Joe Brady passing the ball and the passing offense and how it's looked. I've really enjoyed McDermott over the last few days, and I think in many ways how open he's been.
You know, there's messaging, I think, that's going on. You know, you put messaging out through the media sometimes. Not that he's not going to say the same things. That's not what happens. You don't say something to the media you're not going to say to your own team, but you kind of can reinforce it sometimes. And you can say things in the halls of and inside one Bills drive, which is 95% of what is said, you're never going to say out into the media, right? But sometimes you say it to your coaches and you say it to your players, and then you make sure you say it in the media in some way to get that message even more home, because now you're hearing it even more and you know that it's critical and it means a lot. And what I mean by that is when he comes out and he talks about his concern, wasn't his word concern, right? Because Joe Brady was already concerned, oh man, concerned about the passing game. But when he talked about we have to be able to throw the ball, I believe in that, and we want to be a two-dimensional offense, and he's saying that in the media, I think that's kind of a clear message to his coaching staff, to his players, that we got to be better at this than what we're doing right now. And we all see it, right? I mean, anybody who's watched Buffalo Bills football knows you have the league MVP in Josh Allen, and you're struggling to throw the football the way that it looks like you should throw the football. Anybody could see it. And instead of the head coach, which a lot of people might expect or roll their eyes at, come out and say, oh, no, everything's fine. Look at all the points that we're scoring. That is what the offensive coordinator basically said. But the head coach is like, we got to be better at this.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you.
Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And I agree with you. I like hearing that. I like knowing that he's saying that to us, which means you know for a fact that he's saying it even more so inside One Bills Drive.
Sal, when it comes to the struggles with the passing game and hearing a little bit of the confliction there, I do know that Brady's probably just sticking up for his guys on that sense, mm-hmm. you know, not wanting to flame them publicly on that sort of thing. But it is getting to be more interesting that McDermott has been more candid. And this has kind of been going on for a couple of weeks now. This is not something that was new this week alone.
Yeah, do you have, like, specifically any, like, what's over the last few weeks, anything stood out to you specifically? Because I agree with you. He's been like that really going back to last year, Derek. Like, yeah. He's been a little bit more open and honest. But I'm trying to think if there's anything specific, you know. Okay, how about this? Keon Coleman, right? Remember when Keon Coleman was benched, right? And he kind of made it known and like, oh, yeah, he was benched and disciplined and all of that. So, yeah, I just feel like we're getting an honest Sean McDermott lately. And look, fans want honesty until sometimes they get it. Then they don't want it from their players.
Then all
or their
of a sudden
coaches,
it's ignorance is bliss. Yeah.
Right, right. So, sometimes you want that. I think there's messaging going on here. And I think that's what you're getting from Sean McDermott.
And I'm impressed overall with, you know, a little bit more of the candor going on from the head coach. I do appreciate that. But, Sal, something that's sticking with me, though, on the defense, you had mentioned it last week that the reinforcements are arriving. And, man, Michael Hoyt came back from that suspension in a very timely manner with 1.5 sacks already in his first game. Yeah, Andy Dalton played like a very lesser version of Andy Dalton than we've ever been used to. But Hoyt comes in here and makes an immediate impact, as all expected him to. But even then, I don't think it was expected to be that impactful right away. What's the addition of Hoyt for this team and really finally being able to take advantage of the vision when they originally signed him?
Guys, I told you guys, and I kind of stuck my neck on this one, stuck my neck out, and I'm glad to be right and that Michael Hoyt kind of vindicated and validated me, because I had been telling you guys for weeks and anybody else who would listen, any show, that I saw with my own two eyes in preseason and training camp that they had a plan for this guy. They had a plan that he was going to be a big part of what they do. They're going to move him around and he's going to allow everybody else to kind of fall into different roles, which is going to make the defense more versatile and give you more options. And that's what happened on Sunday. And I'm glad, because now I don't look like a fool saying, oh, Michael Hoyt, because that is the plan. Now, it doesn't mean suddenly the Bills are the 85 Bears, right? It doesn't mean that suddenly Michael Hoyt is Ray Lewis in the middle of the defense or Lawrence Taylor coming off the edge or Bruce Smith coming off the edge. It's not what it means. What it is, and going forward, is versatility and different options based on down and distance and how you want to match personnel and what you want to do. Michael Hoyt is a really good football player. You know what else he is? He's really smart. He went to an Ivy League school. Did you hear Bobby Babich talk about him the other day?
Oh, yeah.
He's like a classical composer on the field, and then he's like a, what do you say, like a heavy metal guy when he gets on the field, right? Off the field. It's, you know what I mean? So that's right. Like, he understands what he's seeing. He understands what he's supposed to do, and he's got the talent to be able to do it. I'm super excited to see what they do and have cooked up for Michael Hoyt, especially in a matchup like this against, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, and to see, you know, what kind of, you know, scheming you could do. Now, without Ed Oliver, it's going to hurt this defense. There's no way around it. You can't just make that, you know, rainbows. It's going to hurt them. But they do have Larry Ogunjobi as well. And I would say this. I'm not telling you that you'd rather not have Ed Oliver. Of course you would. But because they have Ogunjobi and Hoyt, you can look at it like a two-for-one, be able to do the things that Ed Oliver helps you with, which is Larry Ogunjobi is a really good run defender. He is a better run defender, really, than Ed Oliver because he's an anchor. Because Ed, you're asking to penetrate. You don't have to do that. Larry Ogunjobi is going to help you out in the run game. So what you're gaining from losing Ed Oliver sometimes is a guy who's not as great of a run defender because of penetrator, but you're getting that at Larry Ogunjobi. But what you're losing in Ed Oliver in the pass rush, you can gain in Michael Hoyt with the way you scheme and because of his versatility. And again, it's not saying that you wouldn't. I'd rather have Ed Oliver. There's no doubt about that. Guys, they are so much more better, well-equipped to lose Ed Oliver now, though, than they were after week one.
Sal, I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking about this, and not to say they're a better team or anything like that now that Oliver's gone, but you've also seen, too, the emergence of Deion Walker. You get Ogunjobi back. I'm really curious to see what Walker looks like the next few weeks. We saw what he looked like in Atlanta when he had to play, what, 80% of the snaps? He was one of their best players. He's one of the better rookies in the NFL, not just being a fourth-round pick, but like just overall, he's one of the best rookies in football. I'm so into whatever's going to be over the next few weeks with him. He, you're losing that penetrator aspect from Oliver, right? I mean, I think he even put it on Instagram that, like, the leading guy, defensive tackle for sacks, like, 4.5. He had 3 in 3 games. Like, Walker's not making that up. But Walker has been a force for much of this year.
He's kind of boom or bust, but you'll take the booms, right? And you're going to live with the busts right now as a rookie because those will get cleaned up, hopefully, especially as the season goes on. He makes really big splash plays. He also sometimes you look and go, oh, man, like that's a rookie getting washed down, not understanding what the defense was, what the offense was doing to him right there. But I think you take the season you're getting from Deion Walker right now for sure, and you keep building on it. Now, TJ Sanders is still on IR. He, you know, they said he was going to have a knee procedure. He can come back later in the year. I think it's too early now to think about that. But, you know, you hope that he comes back and he helps you at some point. I'm excited to see, you know, Deion Walker's progression as well as it goes, especially next to Larry Ogunjobi and what they can do. But we'll see where it goes. And then, of course, you have Max Harrison behind these guys. And we talked about Jordan Hancock. I mean, I wrote it Monday, guys, arrow up, arrow down. When I wrote at WGR550.com, arrow up, arrow down, one of the arrows I wrote was I give the coaching staff a lot of credit for having the stones, basically, to make these changes, right? I mean, you get Hoyt and Ogunjobi, they're thrown right in. You get Max Harrison back. How many of us were surprised at 4 p.m. on Saturday when we learned Max Harrison was even activated for the game, right? And he was activated. Then he plays right away, and he plays a lot. And then Jordan Hancock, to our surprise, goes out there the third play of the game. And I just think it showed a sense of urgency and a sense of awareness and willingness from this coaching staff to make changes that were needed.
And Sal, I mean, we talked about this, those two, Hoyt as well. It looked like they had better athletes flat out on defense than they had for a lot of this year. Hancock and Harrison, of course. Harrison, the whole thing about him is how fast he is and how much of a difference maker he can be. But then Hoyt as well. Yeah, they look like a more athletic defense, which gets me excited for this matchup against Kansas City. I'll be honest, I'm worried. I don't know how well they match up this year offensively against Kansas City's defense. But on defense going up against that offense, one area that I'm really keying in on, Kansas City's O-line is hurt. Trey Smith missed against Washington. We'll see if he's up this week. And then Josh Simmons, who many were touting as, hey, like he's going to fix a lot of their offensive line. I don't know what's happening behind the scenes. He's been gone for a few weeks. This could be an O-line that they can go get, especially, too, they're not running the ball, or they haven't really run the ball particularly well all year, and Pacheco's out, most likely.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt's a guy they've been leaning on. He's an older guy. He's not going to be as explosive, but he's real good in short yardage situations. He converts a lot. They give it to him in the goal line a lot. Are you going to ask him to do a lot more? Probably not. I think you're going to see a lot of Breshard Smith this week, guys. He's a guy that they drafted. He's fast. He's good. He's athletic, and they use him in the passing game as well. So that's going to be kind of a something to watch this week. I agree with you. Pacheco being out hurts their offense, you know, but they have not run the ball terrific this year. In fact, Patrick Mahomes is kind of like their leading rusher this year, and has been at least. I don't know if the numbers are right now, but you know, he has been a guy that's really led them in rushing. What's that?
He has now moved to second. Pacheco has passed him.
Well, so going into the game, he'll be the guy on the field that has the most yards for them this year. And you know, that's something that I think you have to really watch out for, is him running the ball, him scrambling around. But I think offensively, like you said, and Josh Simmons, I mean, yeah, at this point you can't count on him playing. In fact, I read something yesterday about their owner, Lamar Hunt. The headline was, expresses optimism that he'll return this year, about Josh Simmons. Oof. Right? Like, so whatever's going on, family matter, personal issue, he's still not with the team. Now, Trey Smith had a back issue, back spasm. So we'll see today if he winds up playing. And yeah, maybe you can take advantage of an offensive line, but the Chiefs will be buttoned up. The Chiefs will have a really good game plan. The Chiefs use their tight ends to block. They're going to have multiple ways to attack you. I think what really scares Bills fans is Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, all that speed. And maybe this is where you really have to say, okay, here we go, Max Harrison. This is why we drafted you. Go out there and do your thing and, you know, stick with Worthy or Rice, whoever it is at the time.
Sal, going to the other side of the field, obviously, we've heard about the comments from the head coach about the passing game. Kansas City is a defense that has frustrated them in the past when it comes to especially the passing game at times. We all remember the last play of the AFC Championship game, of course, painfully so. But do you think this might not be the time to necessarily worry about if there's progress there? Try to at least attack on the ground game where Kansas City is at least middle of the pack and try to keep things under control for this game. It does seem like, begrudgingly, people are going to have to deal with a clock control type game from the Bills based on their strengths and what they can and cannot attack.
Hey, Derek, I think it's two separate issues and questions, really, right? Which are, should you be concerned, like we talked about earlier about the passing game? Yes. Does that mean you should want to get it fixed this week? No, because you know why? They're good at the run game, and that's how you're going to want to try and win this game most likely, because I agree with you. If you can lean on the run game, which has been excellent, and James Cook has been incredible. By the way, James Cook, we're going to find out in about a half hour from now if he was named AFC Offensive Player of the Week, which I think he deserves it. But this isn't a game. If you come away from this game, how about this? If you come away from this game with the same exact stat line as last week and a win, I don't think that that's an indication that we should start saying the same thing about, okay, we're going to say the same thing about the passing game, but I think that's okay, right? Because if that's how you have to beat the Chiefs, that's how you beat the Chiefs. Right. You do whatever you can to beat the Chiefs this week. And if that means that your passing game is still struggling, you figure it out after. You don't just try to fix the passing game as your, you know, like a work in progress to beat the Chiefs. You try to fix it as you go, but you still have to beat the Chiefs. That's the number one goal here this week. And if that means handing the ball off to James Cook 25 times, that's what you do. And I think that's exactly the formula, which is lean on the run game, lean on James Cook. He's been great for you this year. Keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. I would also tell you guys, you go back a few years, Josh Allen has run a lot against the Chiefs. They've opened up that part of the playbook in this specific matchup. I think oftentimes because they do see blitz coming and they say, all right, let's take advantage of that. Let's get Josh out in space and maybe take advantage of a running lane because the blitz is coming, something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens this week.
And we've taken calls, well, definitely yesterday, about kind of the worries there of like, why is Allen not running? You kind of, and it's something I've at least noticed a little bit too watching the games. It seems like he kind of makes the decision to run a little bit late and it has caused some sacks and what have you. But Sal, you're right. Like, this is sort of the matchup always where all of a sudden, you know, everything's laid bare. We're going for the W and we know who you are. You know who we are. Let's dance. And it's also why it's for years been some of the best football we've seen across the NFL year in and year out.
Yeah, so I think the Bills, you know, this week they'll probably have, you know, that ability and willingness to run Josh because they know it's a big game and that's happened before. But I don't know, you know, if we're going to see all of a sudden this downfield passing attack that everybody's clamoring for. That'd be great. I just think that's probably something that's not going to happen, but it's not the number one goal. The number one goal is to win the game this week, no matter how that is.
And then, Sal, last thing for me, actually, the next time we'll talk, because you're in these seats tomorrow, you're going to actually be live, so we'll let you talk about that here in just a moment.
Yes.
But the next time we all talk, it will be the trade deadline. Where are you sitting with that? I know I personally would love them to add a Rashid Shaheed with the injury to Ed Oliver.
I don't expect it because of the cap space they don't have.
But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they try to go at a D tackle. I know that there was reports yesterday they had signed somebody who's a rookie this year. Linebacker could be a position as well. But where do you sit on all of that?
Well, I mean, I think my number one guy I've said for weeks is Rashid Shaheed.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason isn't because I don't think Rashid Shaheed is, you know, this amazing player. But what he does is he gives you speed to be able to open up other players. But number two is he's a return man. They've struggled in the return game, guys. And you could, if you, and look, you guys know I'm a Brandon Codrington fan, right, of what he does for the team. But he has been ineffective this year, Brandon Codrington, and he's been inactive this year. And if you can save a roster spot by putting Shaheed as a return man and a receiver, well, that really helps you a lot. Rashid's the guy that I've identified for weeks now, and I still think that that's the number one guy on my board. Now, would you love Chris Olave? Of course. I just think that that's going to be probably way too much of an asking price for him. I'm a little different on DT because could they go trade for someone? Sure. It's a kind of position, though. It's a rotational position. Do you want to give up an asset, or can you go out and sign like a Raekwon Davis? Sign somebody who's a free agent who knows the system, or at least been familiar with other systems, I should say, who come in here and play a rotational piece and not give up an asset. It feels like that's the case. And then, as Derek pointed out, rightfully so, the Bills don't have a lot of money, man. I mean, people talk about all these trades. Like, they don't have much money under the salary cap to make deals and bring guys in.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very curious to see if they do anything. Shaheed, though, I'm right there with you, Sal. And also, just, I think he adds an element they maybe don't have offensively where, look, I think with the Chiefs, maybe one of the most dangerous things they do is the incomplete pass to Xavier Worthy. When he just streaks down the sideline, they throw it up, and it lets the defense know that's still there. They use him in other aspects too, and you could use that for Shaheed as well. He's not just a gadget guy, but I think that's something that could. You saw last year with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper just being in the offense kind of opened up the passing game. I wonder if Shaheed could do something similar and maybe do a little bit more than we saw from Cooper last year.
Yeah, I agree. But remember, Cooper got here and then he got hurt right away.
Got hurt right away. Yeah, he was part of the wrist.
So that also, and it's a good point that the wide receiver is a tough spot to get integrated right away. Like, it's not like they have all these reps in camp and off season. They get here, they're game planning every week. There's no bye week left even, right? It's your game planning. Let's get in out here. And that's tough to do. You know, you can do things off to the side and a little extra work, but there's only so much you can do that's even legal by the CBA to get out there and do some work with your quarterback and other people.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal, what is the plan for tomorrow, today as well? Give everyone what they need to know.
Sean McDermott's going to speak a little before the top of the hour. We'll get an update on injuries and anything else going on with the Bills. We'll find out if James Cook wins AFC Offensive Player of the Week coming up here in a little while. Because I keep saying that because I think he's going to, and I think he deserves it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's today. Practice. We'll hear from players afterward. And then tomorrow, I am going to be doing this show live that we're all talking on, the Extra Point Show, from Northtown Kia, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That is 3900 Sheridan Drive. I've been told we're going to have some Halloween candy there. We're going to have Paula's Donuts there.
There we go.
WGR swag there. How about that, guys? So
all
come
right.
on by.
All right.
Say hi. Check out the new vehicles that are in stocks. If you're looking for something new, used, whatever, check them out, man. Like, that's the place to go. Tomorrow, the day we're going to do it, and I'm going to be live at Northtown Kia. And how about this? On the phone lines, special guest, Tracy Wolfson's going to join me.
Oh, very
She
nice.
Is calling the game Sunday with Jim Nancy, Tony Romo.
Very nice. All right, Sal, we'll let you get ready for practice today. Thanks for jumping on with us.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Sal.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. We did have some breaking news during the during that spot there, not pertaining to the Bills, but a big contract extension.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, 4 years, $180 million. $141 million of that is guaranteed. So one of the best pass rushers in football, should have had one of the best pass rushing seasons we've ever seen last year if he didn't get hurt, gets his just due smash hit for ultimately his local team, went to Michigan and was a star there. Listen, for your chance to win two tickets to see Eric Church with special guest Ella Langley at KeyBank Center on February 13th. It is courtesy of Messina Touring Group. Tickets go on sale Friday, October 3rd at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com.
803-0550, the number to call. After this quick timeout, Paul Hamilton will join the show. We'll get a quick word in on the Sabres. They drop a second straight overtime game to Columbus last night. We'll get his thoughts on this. They're stacking points, not necessarily stacking wins. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two continues to roll along here on a Wednesday. The sun is out. Little fall weather out there. Not bad, not bad. It's soup weather. I said that yesterday.
Yes, and you know what?
Soup weather.
It's Paul Hamilton.
We go now to the Western Hotline. Paul Hamilton does join the show. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
Soup weather is – I don't like the weather itself, but I love soup.
I know,
so,
I know.
So how about let's have 70 degrees and I'll still have soup. How's that?
It's good. It'll be 50 at night and I'll be like, oh, this is perfect. Now I can have stew. I know. I'm right there with you.
Because I do that very often. I head up – I live near the French pub and I go up there and I love their soups. So, of course, I always have a cup of soup before dinner. Then I don't eat half my dinner because I decided to eat soup and everything. So,
well, I mean, French onion soup's in front of you. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, their beer cheese soup is to absolutely die for.
They give
this great big hot pretzel with it to dip in there. They put bacon bits in there, real bacon.
I mean, there we go.
It's worth the drive, boys. It's worth the drive to go out there just to have the soup.
I'm going
to
ruin Paul's day right now. I got to get through this. Paul, you mean walk?
Oh, you live right near there? Have you had the soup?
Lives right there.
Have you had the soup?
I have not had the soup, but now...
How could you live that close and not have had the soup yet?
I love that that's what Paul's worried about, not,
yes!
Oh, God, Derek lives near me.
Hadn't hit him yet. It's running on a delay. He'll get there.
He'll just wake up in a cold sweat at like 4 a.m. Oh, my God, I live near Derek.
I'm going to have those trackers for missiles now.
So, Paul, the Sabres last night, they're kind of doing what we've talked about a lot, where they're picking up points. They're not stacking, you know, no-point losses. The problem is the last two games, they've had leads in the third period. They're not forcing overtime. They're having overtime forced upon them.
Well, I was just talking to a friend, and I told him, I said, yeah, I feel like a hypocrite here. And I said it this morning, too, because I was sitting there pounding the table in the beginning of the year when they're wasting these great goaltending performances by Alex Lyon, saying they got to start getting these loser points because as poorly as they're playing, including Boston, who's next, you're only one goal behind. Don't forget the open net goal went in with 3 seconds left, which made it 3-1.
Yeah.
You're sitting there at 2-1. You've pulled the goaltender. You have a golden opportunity here to score a goal. Get the thing into overtime, at least get 1 point, maybe get two, and that would have said, I would have said in that game, steal 1 point or steal two. But, you know, they weren't doing that, and I thought it's really going to hurt them because you remember a couple years ago when the Islanders had 15 loser points
exactly.
And the Sabres had 5, and that's why they didn't get into the playoffs. So here they are doing it now, but now I'm – and still, I would have said – if you would have asked me Friday morning, you know, if the Sabres get 3 out of 4 points against the Toronto Maple Leafs this weekend, is it successful? And I would have said, absolutely, it's successful. And then I sat there on the postgame show after the game in Toronto thinking, well, they got the 3 out of 4 points, and they absolutely should have gotten 4 out of 4. I mean, they had a one-goal lead in the third period. Lindy Ruff said they gave up one scoring chance, so let's go with that. I don't have the numbers that Lindy Ruff has because they do it on their own, so let's go with that. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, and different. So, all right, you gave up one scoring chance, and it's in your net because the goaltender, who admitted himself he should have had it, and Lindy Ruff said after the game that you need a save there, he'd want that back. So now you've tied the game. But you go into overtime, and you're all set. You've got Jack Quinn coming down the slot 2-on-1. And Jack Quinn, more times than not, when he rips a shot from the slot, is going to score. But he thinks it might be a better idea to pass over to Tage Thompson and hits a skate with the pass. So nothing comes of that. But somehow the puck winds up right in front of the net. Here comes Owen Power right down the middle. It's just him and Primo. And I still don't know how he lost the puck. He lost the puck off his stick somehow, and they didn't get a chance. And then down comes Tavares, and I understand it's John Tavares, and I understand it's an extremely hard save, but it's a save that the Columbus Blue Jackets got last night, and the Sabres didn't get a save. And you wind up losing the game. Even though you got 3 out of 4 points, I'm sitting there going, they should have won two. And same thing. You know, they had a bad first 15 minutes. I thought they took over the game, and it showed on the ice because they took over the lead. And here they are with the lead. And they wound up getting tied late on a goal that probably, again, it's a coverage mistake. And you go to overtime, but here comes Yuri Kulik. Now, he's not the number one player I want coming down in the breakaway. Jack Quinn probably is their niftiest breakaway player, but Tuck and Thompson don't take a back seat either. But still, Yuri Kulik is a pretty good hockey player. And, all right, good. Yuri Kulik's got a clear-cut breakaway. Nobody near him. Greaves makes the save, and then they have – I don't know what they were doing on the goal, but they give up the goal. Power, you know, doesn't tie up Wood. You know, it's one-on-one, and Owen Power failed. And as simple as that. I know Lindy Ruff said Kulik lost his man, and he did. You know, looking at the replay, Kulik turns off, and Alex Tuck – he leaves Alex Tuck in no man's land because Tuck sees him turn off. And, he didn't grab his guy. I got to go, but he's a step slow because he has to go, because Kulik doesn't grab his man. But nothing, none of this ever happens if Owen Power, as he takes Wood to the boards, you don't have to put him through the boards. You don't even have to hit him. All you have to do is erase him. Just make sure he doesn't come out of there. Ride him out. Just ride him out of the play. That's all you have to do. It's just ride him out of the play, and then he's not coming out from the boards to tip in the game-winning goal. And I don't know, maybe if Lindy Ruff was just protecting Owen Power, like Granato used to do with Dahlin, because he's right. Kulik did make a bad mistake there. But if Owen Power just erases his guy and makes it so he can't come out of there, just ride him out. That's all you have to do. Then he's not in front of the net to tip that goal.
Lindy, let's look ahead. Paul, let's look ahead to the games going up, coming up here for the Sabres. Obviously, they get a rematch here with Boston. The last time they played the Bruins, it was back when they played in those first three games. They are playing non-competitive hockey. The way that they've been playing over the last seven games, though, points in six of their last seven have been impressive throughout most stretches of this. Now you get a Boston team that is hapless. They have probably the worst center depth in the league. And then they traded Pavel Zacha in addition to that. So, Paul, this is more or less, you should be winning this next game here, A, to get back in the win column, but B, the way that they've been playing, this is something we need this team to do, is win games they're expected to now.
Well, that first period after you lose to the Rangers, and the Ranger game was just one of those, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, they played well defensively, but so did the Rangers, and there's a low chance game, and, you know, it just, the fans couldn't get into it because it was a low chance game, and, but at least you're in it. It was a 1-0 game, basically, throughout, and the Rangers got too late. The Bruin game, that first period was inexcusable, absolutely inexcusable to come out and play like that early in the season. But through it all, as poorly as you played, as I mentioned earlier, it's only 2-1 when you pull your goalie.
That's right.
You know, so you're right there to steal points if you could. But they weren't able to do it. They weren't able to get that tying goal to steal 1 or 2 points out of Boston. And Boston was just bad a hockey team then. And the Sabres, basically wasted that game. Well, quite honestly, they wasted the first three games because they got good goaltending in all three. If I'm not mistaken, I think Lyon was around .921 save percentage after those three games. And you get no points at all out of that. So it has to be. If the Sabres just go into Boston and play their game and don't play a first 15 minutes like they did yesterday or first period like they did in Boston and just play their regular game and get good goaltending, do well on special teams, they should be just fine. But you can't – if you're planning on being in the playoffs and you're planning on being a better team, you can't play in the first 11 games, play the Boston Bruins twice and lose both times to them.
And Boston right now last in the Atlantic. They've played 12 games. They've got 10 points, same as the Sabres, but it's more games played. With that, though, Paul, the
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Atlantic, no one has really separated themselves in this middle group. Montreal and Detroit kind of have somewhat separated themselves early. But this is also to that point of two overtime games that we were just talking about, that you had leads in the third and arguably should have won both. You could easily be that third team that is starting to separate yourself from the pack. And I was seeing this morning, too, through 10 games, what have the Sabres look like? I think like the last nine or so seasons. It's, for the most part, record-wise, they look like this. So for you, Paul, have you seen anything different in this team from years prior, or is the record kind of saying something different?
Lot different. I mean, they got points in 6 out of 7 games. They got their losing streak out of the way right away, but they stopped it at 3. It didn't get to 13 or 7 or 8 or 9, and that's what's killed them every single year is that streak that just won't end. So they got rid of it in 3, and then they've gotten points in 6 out of 7 games. The difference is they're getting goaltending in most games. I would say the Toronto game in Toronto is the only game they really didn't get goaltending in. The special teams came alive. The power play was 0 for the first 3 games, and then next thing you know, I think they were 5 of their next 7. The penalty kill is still tops in the league, and you know, even though they gave one up yesterday, they still have good special teams, so that's quite a bit different, having special teams. The Ottawa game is totally different. The last X amount of years with a 3-goal lead, then you start the third period. Next thing you know, you have a 1-goal lead. They would have lost that game every time. Every time. They did lose that game every time. How many times did we see them lose that game? Because they would have panicked and panic is not a strategy, and you know, they would have lost by 2 probably. That's the way they used to go. This particular game, Lindy Ruff called timeout, and 17 seconds later they scored a goal and they were on their way and wound up winning big. That's not what I've seen the Buffalo Sabres do recently, and when I say recently for the Sabres, it's the last 14 years. I have not seen them be able to pull their socks up and recover from that. They would just have lost that game and had to explain it away. So, you know, something like that, or getting the points in 6 out of 7. They still, yeah, they had their 4-game home winning streak broken, but they still are 4-0-1 in their last 5 games at home, which, again, last year they were starting to get better at home.
They were, yeah, but that was an issue for years.
But it was an issue for years that they did that. So, you know, they're picking up those points. And what Lindy Ruff talks about, he talks about putting the season in 5-game segments. They were successful in segment number 2. They picked up 6 out of 10 points. Segment number 1, they were not successful. They only picked up 4. And he said, now the thing is, one of these segments, they're going to have to make up those points. Maybe get 7 in a couple of the segments, or get 8 out of 10 in one of them to make up those 2 points. Because he's right. If you get 6 points out of every 10, you are going to be in the playoffs, no matter what other teams do around you. So, well, I lied. There was one year that Washington was the last playoff team at 100, and I think that would be 98 points if you're able to get 6 out of 10. So, but you probably are going to be in the playoffs most years if you do that. So, all right, you've been successful on your second segment now. So now that you've done that, the third segment starts now against the Boston Bruins. And, you know, basically what they have to do is avoid that streak, which last year, don't forget, right before the streak started in late November around Thanksgiving time, they had beaten the San Jose Sharks in San Jose. That win put them in third place in the Atlantic Division, not in the wild card spot, in third place. Mm-hmm. 2 points behind the second-place Florida Panthers and 3 points behind the first-place Toronto Maple Leafs. So there they sat in a very good position. And then they picked up 3 of their next 26 points and absolutely blew up their season. So that's what they have to do. You know, in other years it's been 7-game losing streak or 8-game. It hadn't been 13. But they have to avoid at all costs that big streak. That's how you break this playoff thing, is you know, like you did. You lost 3 in a row. Well, you know, Colorado lost 4 in a row. You know, so,
right.
You know, the Colorado's done something Buffalo hasn't. So, you know, I said Colorado. I meant Florida. Florida has lost 4 in a row. You know, you got to cut it off. It can't get into 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's how this can all be changed and how it all can be different.
And we'll see on Thursday at Boston, and then on Saturday, home against Washington. Paul, thanks for jumping on with us this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, talk to you guys.
We'll see you, Paul.
Oh, I was probably being told get that soup, right?
Get the soup. Get the soup. You live right there.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton there.
I got to bother Paul for lunch one of these days now.
Paul Hamilton there on the Western Hotline. Hope you enjoyed the Frozen Frenzy yesterday. You have one game tonight in the NHL, 7:30. The Columbus Blue Jackets on a back-to-back host the Toronto Maple Leafs, also, of course, on a back-to-back, 7:30 on NHL Network. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. This is WGR. Very quick here before we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. As previously mentioned, Sal's got the show tomorrow and Friday, so we won't be here for Halloween or, well, any of that stuff.
Oh, no, not Halloween.
I wish I liked Halloween more.
Halloween got oversaturated, I think, is the thing that's happening here. It's oversaturated. There's too much of it.
Well, you can sell it, yeah.
It's not about tomfoolery and candy anymore. It's like, oh, spooky season's all the time now. And it's like, no, no, no. You're turning it into Christmas. Don't you dare. Christmas is already oversaturated as it is. I don't need the same thing happening to Halloween. Leave my Thanksgiving dinner alone, why don't ya?
Thanksgiving, though, rightfully, is just in that spot. I'm like, yeah, we just enjoy that day. We're all happy
with that
day. That
said, on Saturday, Joe and I are going to do the proper candy power rankings.
Skittles, number one. Also, before Halloween, I do have to watch Halloween Town. That is a tradition that I've had for years.
See, that's part of the problem.
Got to watch Halloween Town at least once before the holiday. That's going to do it for me and Derek. As previously mentioned, Sal's got tomorrow and Friday. We will hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott at some point today, but coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms.
Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.